Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
The elegance.
The elegance of the elegance. How about that? Coach, you ever been to Coney Island?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
I never rode the roller coaster or anything, but I went out there and had a hot dog.
I was going to say, that's where they have the Nathan's
hot dog
eating contest. Coney Island.
That's a great thing to pull up an oldie there.
The elegance.
The excellence.
Excellence.
Oh, my bad.
The excellence.
Excellent. They were excellent right there.
The excellency of the excellence. This is good stuff.
Good music here, man. We get ready for Thanksgiving.
I'm telling you. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Fourth and final hour. David Johnston, Sam Franco, and former Georgia head coach and college football Hall of Famer, Jim Donnan. Class of 09, right?
Yeah, seems like yesterday.
Who else was in your class?
Oh, Troy Aikman, Coach Fitzgerald up at
Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald?
Right. Yep. Lou Holtz.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, and some good guys.
Yeah, no, that's a great class. That is a fantastic class. Do you want to hit some emails now, or you want to look ahead and we'll do emails
later?
Let's
see what we got. A few emails.
All right, we've got some emails rolling in, Coach. We do. And our man Stevie T had sent in some non-football choices, but maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on. But I definitely want to get your opinion on some of these other emails. Our man Rambo is checking in.
Rambo.
Yes. Yes. Says, I know every game the head coaches meet near the 50 and chat it up before the game. How many times have you come close to punching them in the lip? And given most of us wish somebody would have hit the old ball coach after the games in Jacksonville. Well, is it always friendly banter when you're talking to the
other
coach?
You know, it really isn't much to talk about. You know, you're thinking about your team, he's thinking about their team, and you try to be as civil as you can, but you know, most of these guys you're pretty good friends with off the field, and you have a mutual respect for. One of the ones that I had a little bit of a run in was I was coaching in a playoff game against Eastern Kentucky, and we're playing the game at Marshall, and the coach walks up to me, Roy Kidd, who's you know has a tremendous record over the years up there, and he comes up to me, and you know, I said hello. He said, "Let me just tell you something. Our pregame meal was terrible." And I said, "Really?" And I said, "Ours was pretty good." And he started talking about it. He said, "Did you have anything to do with that?" And I said, "What are you talking about? You mean why would I? You think I sabotaged your pregame meal?" He said, "Well, we stayed at this hotel that Marshall recommended, and everything. And you know, our pregame meal was terrible." I said, "Look, coach. I hate that it was. It's not going to make any difference. We're going to kick your butt, whether you had a good one or not." And then I just walked off. But that was kind of
awesome.
Funny. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing I always noticed, too, is that the quarterbacks after the game always talk to each other.
Yeah, there's mutual respect there, particularly in the pros. You know, like I saw Brady when they beat the Chiefs go across the field and speak to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's just you know, the quarterbacks endure so much during the week getting ready for the game, and you respect the job they've done because you know what your defense is like and what – so they do that. But the coaches – I would think that the post-game handshake is something you really don't really need because, you know, you just talk to them before the game and all that. But after the game, you know, mostly it's just like a drive-by handshake, you know. But
they have it right in the NBA. The coaches just
wave
at each
and they got
other.
So many policemen now with you that it's just incredible.
Yeah. And then there's 20 people holding cameras.
And then the cameras and the mics are trying to hear you what they're saying.
Yeah.
But it's just it'd be nice if it's a little – like the pregame, though, they let you give you a little space there and you talk to them. But, you know, a guy like Kirby and Muschamp that played together is a little bit different maybe. You know, they get to talk a little bit. But
Here's a good technical question for you, Coach.
All right, don't make it too hard. Is
From
this about
Craig.
Football? Or?
It's actually about football.
Okay, good.
Specifically about Georgia Tech. Coach, this is from Craig. I've heard several times during Tech games the announcers comment on how Tech is blocking the option for the quarterback, not the backs.
Okay.
What is the difference?
That's a really good technical question. And I'm going to give you some technical stuff after this answer here that will help you a little bit. But usually in the option game, you block for the support to block where the guy that gets the pitch gets to keep so the guy will arc on him and block either the safety or the corner. But the guy that has the quarterback, when they block for the quarterback to keep it, instead of blocking support, they'll block the end.
Right.
So that you can watch the halfback's path. He'll go and block the end, and now the quarterback has got the ball out to the safety to pitch off of instead of the end. Okay, so you're blocking what they call a double option. You're not reading it, but it's loaded. You're loading the end or the linebacker. So if everybody would just count to four here, we can talk about the principles here. Easily 4-3-2-1. Number four man has the dive. He's going to take the – he's going to be the read key for the quarterback, usually the tackle or guy inside the tackle. You're going to read the first man outside the guard's block. So that's number four.
So if you're not stopping the fullback, they're going to keep feeding it
to
him.
They've got other ways to run the fullback beside reading it,
yeah.
But they can give a fullback take where they just automatically call 12 or, you know, let's just say 12, you're just going to hand it to him and not read it.
Right.
You know, then 14 – the way we would read the four man. Now three, the third man has the quarterback.
Right.
Okay. Two has the pitch and one has the deep. So there could be the one and two man could either be the corner or the safety. So if the corner rolls up, he becomes the two man because he's got the pitch and the safety's got the deep. So if you just go through it, four, you read four, he's got the quarterback, three's got got the dive, three's got the quarterback, two's got the pitch. So that's the way we always, instead of calling them defensive tackles, defensive men, hey, we read number four, pitching off three and blocking two. That's the way we do it. So in the answer to his, what they would do is block three instead of two so the quarterback can take it to the perimeter. You know, so the other thing that Tech does, they run a myriad of other plays. They run the quarterback follow. You can watch short yardage. What they do on that, instead of the quarterback riding the fullback and then taking it out to the end, they just go right behind the fullback on the follow play.
Right.
So that's a short yardage play. And another play they use is what we call these auxiliary plays that are not off the option. It's where they'll just kind of fake up in the line and run the toss sweep away from it. And, you know, that's really good for them on short yardage because everybody's ganged in there to stop the run. Another thing they do with their blocking schemes here, if everybody stays with me, you got zone blocking where you block just the area. You got veer blocking where you block down. Usually when you block down or block inside, then you read a guy because you're letting the guy go, okay? And then the last thing they got is loop blocking, where the tackle, instead of blocking a man on him or blocking down, will loop around him and block a linebacker, and you'll leave that read key for the quarterback. So I hope that explains it. But so basically, if you were going to the game and your wife, you want to take your husband to the game and explain it to your husband who knows nothing about football, say, hey, they're reading number four, they're pitching off three,
yep.
And they're blocking two. What do you think about that, honey?
There you go. And always in this game, one of Georgia's defensive tackles will have double-digit tackles.
Exactly. You hope so. That and your linebackers. Your free safety is critical in this game. That's why we got guys like, you know, LeCount and Reese should make a lot of plays. And with
Ronnie,
Monty being hurt,
yeah.
You know, I could see us, even though McBride hasn't played a lot, I could see him maybe – being a guy we play in there because he's so fast and, you know, don't have a lot of different things to do. He might be a guy we could use on a special situation to run inside out. The biggest key for me defensively is you have to have what we call an alley player. An alley guy is a guy that can come inside out when the plays are kind of bottled up and make tackles. So let's just say a guy catches the pitch, is running east and west toward the boundary, and when he turns up, you hope you've got a guy in the alley to take care of that cutback. So you want to really run that free safety in the alley. You know, I think a guy from Virginia last week made 15 tackles because of his alley play. You know, last year, Roquan, we talked about linebacker running in the alley and just making good plays. So, but the thing you want to do as a secondary player is you want to take on that block when that guy blocks you on the perimeter. You want to take it as close to the line of scrimmage as you can, because the deeper they are down the field, then they're making yards on the pitch. And the biggest difference in college and high school wishbone or three back is they can block you below the waist. They can't do that in high school. So when a halfback goes out on the perimeter, he can block you and roll you, but they changed the rule this year where he can only do that 5 yards down the field. You can't block it like that. You can't dive at a guy and roll him past 5 yards.
Well, DeAndre Walker yesterday was saying, I didn't quite follow what he was saying, so you maybe can explain it if I'm telling it right, but we were asking him about the defending that offense, and he kept talking about don't commit past the line of scrimmage. Is that
what he's saying there? Is keep if you let's just say you're the quarterback, and it's gotten past the four, and now you're the three man. You want to keep your shoulders square. You don't want to run upfield and give him an area to run in underneath you, and you don't want to give ground and let him take the ball down to you and then pitch it when he's already gained 3 yards. Because if he pitches it after three, then they've already got 5 or 8. So the ends, what they do is read the guy on them. Does he veer block or does he loop block? Remember we talked about that loop?
Yeah.
If he loops around you, then what you got to do is really be careful that you get a piece of him to knock him off where he can't get on that linebacker, but look immediately inside for somebody coming, either a guard maybe or the fullback coming at you. You know, so a lot of teams give up the fullback, the quarterback, instead of faking to the fullback, they'll let the fullback come on out and block and be a lead blocker instead of the inside fake. And that's usually when they're taking it on the outside.
Tony says, what are the similarities and differences of this and what you guys used to do at Oklahoma?
I would just say that the biggest difference for them and us is they use the motion with the slots. Our backs lined up in the backfield. And so they have a double wing type stuff where one of their backs can go in motion to give them – so the guy on the side of the play is in a little bit better position because he's up on the line almost 1-1. We had more misdirection. You know, our backs could run power stuff and things like that from lining up deeper. And then the other thing is they've gone with what we call the midline, which is – if you just draw a line down the center and the quarterback's rear end there, right down the middle, where they'll take the ball and make that fake even closer. But when they're doing that, they want to try to take the option a lot, not near as wide. So you fake really tight to the center, and then you go off the tackle with the keep. So you got to commit somebody to the fullback, though. If you don't stop the fullback, it's history. Because they're just going to pound you with the hit with the fullback.
Here's another good one. By the way, if you're listening to this, do you understand why you have to get ready for this offense?
I hope I'm year round. I'm trying to make it as simple as I
that's
can.
That's the thing, though. You can't just roll in Monday or Sunday afternoon and start.
You got a responsibility
getting ready for this.
You just can't say, "Hey, rush the passer this week," or "Play the zone block." Hey, they got different ways to skin a cat with all the different things. And the thing that we would do to make it easier, we had the teen series, which was the option, the 20 series, which was the trap option where we pulled a guard, and we had the 30, which was the counter option, okay? So counter, you know, where you start one way. So, but what we did was block the perimeter. So anything with an 8 on it or a 9, 8 to the right, 9 to the left. So 18 and 19 were the pure option. 28 and 29 was the trap option. And 38 and 39 was the counter option. So the backs really doesn't matter to them. They're going to block the perimeter the same thing because it's 8 and 9, okay? But the fullback and the quarterback got to know if it's a teen or a 20 or a 30. So we practice our backs almost separate from our fullback and quarterback because they didn't have anything to do with the ball handling except catching the pitch or blocking the perimeter.
Here's another good one from Jim, I think over in Atlanta, who says Clemson seems to have the blueprint for playing D against Tech as they use their physical advantage to penetrate and blow up plays before they get started. What else are they doing? And I'm probably can answer this question. Is Georgia viewing the Clemson film and using some of that same strategy?
Well, what Clemson's doing, number one, is recruiting. They got big old Chilardos inside there that can take you on now. That 42, I think he's made like
– Wilkins?
He's made like 30-some tackles. I heard Kirby talking about it this spring. He's made this unbelievable amount of tackles against Tech in his career. And what he does is stuff a guy at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And what can really be good is if you can take on that center or that guard and knock them back and make that quarterback fullback run the hump. By that, I mean we say the hump. So let's just say the quarterback takes the snap and he's reading the guy, but all of a sudden there's penetration and now he has to pull around him and run around that area. That's disconcerting to their mesh. You know, you want to mess up the mesh if you can. And physicality is the name of it. If you can knock them off and knock them back, that really helps you. But you still got to remember this, Sam. You got to keep your technique, though. You just can't knock a guy around and think, hey, I did my job, and then leave a big gash in there. You know what I mean? So you got to really be smart on how you play your technique. And I'm not over-coaching this, but it used to make my mouth water when we'd play against teams that like to try to run some kind of, you know, way out Willie defense because they didn't know what they were doing, and they were trying to stop us, so averaging 400 yards a game. We played UCLA in the first game of the season in 86 after we'd won the national championship. So they'd had all year to study us. And we come out the first play, and their defensive line is 3 yards off the ball. They're figuring that they're going to be able to just read us, you know, and play soft, and then we can, and kind of make our reads go to not work. So after the first series, you know, you always talk to the old lineman a little bit, and I asked this one guy, I said, what do you think, Coach? What do you think about that? He said, if they keep lining up in that, we'd probably get 600 yards. He said, because by the time I hit the guy, he's lined up 3 yards and he's backed up 2, so we got 5 yards for him to get the ball. I don't know what they were trying to do. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, we scorched them.
Well, you know, it's funny. We talk about having to replace a guy like Roquan Smith, but talking about Wilkins and talking about some of those really good Clemson defensive linemen, we have missed John Atkins this year, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the kind of guy you're talking
yeah,
about David, to go
Davis
against
is coming
that.
On. He's coming along yeah. here. And you need a big space eater there just to make him – you don't want to give him if the one thing you always want to do with – let's just say if you're a passing team, you want to establish and get your quarterback some easy throws and like throwing some flat passes or some checkdowns. Same thing with a quarterback in the option. If you can establish the fullback as where it's a given, then the quarterback knows that he's got that in his hip pocket. But the difference in a lot of teams that are really good with the option is if you don't have to read it, it's easier. You know what I mean? You
yeah.
take away that element. If you know by alignment that they're giving you something, those guys practice that every day. They're licking their chops because, hey, can you believe they're lining this guy up this inside? We don't even have to read this. We're already outside with it right now. So don't give them anything by alignment. And like Kirby said, Paul Johnson, he's been doing this stuff forever. I mean, he knows that he can get to what he needs to do. And we had this little deal in our press box. I've never said this publicly, but we had what we called a Bible. Mm-hmm. And it was a case of, again, because we never knew what the other team's going to run against us because, why? They didn't have any tape. You know what I mean? There weren't that many teams that ran it. Air Force ran it, but they weren't in our league. So we had a list of things that we would go to based on this. Let's say they're playing Eagle G, overshifted front. We're going to run the loaded option weak. If they play triple stack, we're going to block the linebacker and take the ball to number two. If they play wide tackle six, we're going to do this. But you just don't want to keep in your mind that you're going to remember exactly what to do and you're going to be that smart during the game. You just flip it over to that Bible. This is what we're going to here. This is verse 3. We're going right like that. So that Wishbone Bible, man, that was good.
I'll tell you, very interesting stuff, and just goes to show you why you don't just run up on this offense the week of.
No, you do not.
You know, try to get ready. By the way, here's a question that doesn't have anything to do with Tech, but this was from Scott, who said that he noticed that the celebrations after the scores against UMass were handshakes.
Ours were handshakes.
Yeah, he says, was that a Kirby thing, maybe a sign of respect to UMass, or do you have any idea what that might
be? What do you mean?
Like he was saying, instead of running down and picking up the guy like they do, it was just like hand. It was a little different. I didn't notice that. This was
Tyler Simmons got the lift up treatment at one point.
Did he? I don't know.
Good job by you saying that. I don't know, but I'm just glad we don't get any celebration penalties.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, anyway, I thought I had one more here, but I guess that might have been the ones that were asking about Tech. By the way, Roquan and DeAndre Walker last year in the Tech game combined for, I believe, 14 tackles, and 5 of those were tackles for loss. John Atkins had 1 tackle for loss all season, and it came in the Tech game.
Yeah, we played a masterful game.
Yeah.
You know, just the way we executed a game plan, and then the offense did the job too. I mean, just terrific. But in spite of that, they came down in there, and it was a tight game going into the second half. We scored on the first possession, then the third quarter we just lit them up, didn't we? I mean, it was.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's where it really got out of hand, and it was fun. All right, Coach, we'll go around the country, around the SEC when we come back.
Man,
oh man.
The man.
Little Jerry Lee Lewis here on the morning show. We are presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Sam Franco, David Johnson, Coach Donnan along with you.
Breathless. Shake all over and you know why. I'm sure it's love and that's all lie. When you call my name.
You know I'm burning like wood in flame.
You leave me breathless.
Time to take a trip around the SEC and the college football world in general as the last weekend before championship week, although there are plenty of teams playing on championship week that are not playing for championships thanks to makeup games and things like that. But this is really it for a lot of teams.
I saw where Virginia Tech's playing Marshall on December 1st to try to get bowl eligible. They got to beat Virginia this week.
That's though. Weird. There's like, if they lose to Virginia, they're not going to play that game.
Really?
Yeah.
They need to play and give Marshall some money.
Well, how about this? Iowa State, they scheduled Incarnate Word back in September. And Incarnate Word has made the FCF's playoffs. If Incarnate Word loses this weekend, then they're going to play Iowa State. But if they win, then that game's off.
But that's Iowa State's weird. Now eligible anyhow, so we'll
move. Right, right.
But hey, that guy, Incarnate Word, is a air raid guy. He's one of Coach Leach's disciples, and they really right. throwing the ball. I didn't even know what school that was, but they're doing well.
It's their second year in FCS. I was going to ask you, though, what's a bigger deal? I know you want to win the games when you're in the playoff, but if they lost, they'd get a paycheck. But
well,
if
I
they
mean,
win,
the AD wants them to lose. The coach wants to win.
Exactly.
But and all the minor sports. But
that's right.
Real quickly, we'll go around the deal. But I just want to make sure that all the Georgia fans understand that this.
Oh,
was,
yeah. Tony's like, now you got his stomach in
from
knots.
From my standpoint, I was trying to explain what we got to be prepared for. But I really feel good about our preparation, our talent level, the way our players are executing. This is not going to be mission impossible. I've said that a couple of times. This is a situation where you got to respect the other team's offense. And it's our system versus their system. We got to go out there and execute. But they got to stop us too. And that's to me, that's going to be harder for them to do than for us to stop them. You know what I mean? I just think there's a decided advantage, our offense over their defense as compared to their offense against our defense. Plus, our kicking game is a tremendous advantage. I look for us to return a kick on them. I mean, they've had a hard time covering kicks. So we'll get the keys of the game here later on. But let's talk about some of these other games.
Yeah, Jake Camarda did not punt last week against UMass. Would that be the case two straight games? I guess it possibly could, but, you know, I don't want to get too cocky on that, but
that'd be great.
When your guy doesn't punt, that's good. He did play in the game, though, because he is a holder. All right, I love Thanksgiving week, Coach. We got the Egg Bowl Thursday night, and Mississippi State just absolutely annihilated Arkansas in the last 20 minutes last week.
We found out what happened. Those Arkansas players were thinking about State's cheerleaders.
That's right.
So, but Mississippi State has a really good offense when they can throw the ball. You know, they can run it, but, you know, they just had a hard time being very effective throwing. And the other night they mixed it up. Ole Miss had a difficult loss against Vanderbilt. That was a tough call in the end zone, but at the same time they had the ball inside the 20 about five times and ended up kicking field goals, you know. And I did hear this one guy was for one of the teams was worried about being eligible this week, and the teacher said to him, look, I'll give you one question. If you get it right, you can play in this game. You can play in the Egg Bowl. And he said, okay. He said, how do you spell Mississippi? He said, the state or the river?
Coach, where do you get these?
Hey,
awesome.
That's terrible. But anyhow, going on with who we got. Awesome. I think I like Mississippi State.
All right. Friday, Missouri's about a 21-point favorite.
That's going to be going up with those
Arkansas,
two defensive backs out.
Yeah.
Hey, how about Mizzou going in there and with their last three weeks? I mean, realistically, you can say what you can about Mizzou, but they lost two games against South Carolina, and when they had the delay in the game and they waited for a couple hours, and they had that one won, and then they lost on the last play of the game against Kentucky. I mean, this could be a 10-win team, and they're really not that great on defense. But Drew Locke and Derek Dooley's done a good job with that offense. They got a running game going with it, too. I mean, that'd be a tough team to play against in the bowl.
How much do we need to talk about the Iron Bowl?
Well, you know, that's one of those games where I'm sure Auburn's going to sell the ranch, but their offense just doesn't have any running game. And then, you know, I think – we've seen Alabama developing their defense, you know, really starting to put it together. I think this could be pretty ugly.
24.5. LSU's at Texas A&M, and A&M is the 2.5-point favorite. Georgia fans need to root for LSU, or does it really matter?
As far as the playoff, we control our own destiny because
so
we
really
beat
matter.
Alabama. But it would be good for LSU to win just from a standpoint of you know, points of a team in the top 15, which they'd be if they win that game. But, you know, I think LSU still having trouble manufacturing points. I mean, you look at when they play against good teams, and they haven't played that great on the road. They did beat Auburn, but playing on the road is going to be huge for them playing A&M. Isn't that game at A&M?
It is. It's out in College Station. They're a 2.5-point favorite.
And that's a huge game for Jimbo. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of difference between you know, they've
lost, 8-4 and 7-5.
Right, they've had some barn burner games that they've lost that really got down to the wire. And
losing at Auburn was a killer.
Yeah.
They had that in control and let it get away. All right, the battle for bowl eligibility: 2, 5, and 6 teams. Tennessee at Vandy. One goes to a bowl game and the other goes home.
Yeah,
three and a half. Tennessee, I'm sorry, Vandy's favored by 3.5.
Well, you know, I think Tennessee's quarterback's still up in the air whether he's going to play, and they really haven't. They looked terrible last week against Mizzou playing the ball in the air. And Shermer's a good passer. You know, you got to give the edge to Vandy at home.
How about that? That doesn't get said very often.
No, it doesn't. And it's like earlier this year, Dave, when you went out on a limb and took Vandy as a road favorite in the SEC West, and I was like, there's no way in heck that they'll ever cover as a road favorite in the SEC West. And I was wrong.
Well, against Arkansas?
Yeah, I was going to say against maybe the worst team in last 20 years.
It's been the worst team a long time.
Yeah. So, good run through the – now, here's the – you know, you've got the conference games in the SEC, and then you've got the SEC East where they've got all these rivalry games.
Well, how about
like,
the East, though? We've won more than anybody against the West this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. So, what do we got here?
All right, Clemson minus 26 against the Gamecocks.
You know, Clemson's on a really tear right now. I mean, I just think they got too much for South Carolina. But, you know, South Carolina, I think they got a chance to cover that, but – you just look at the way Dabo's turned that whole situation around where, you know, Coach Spurrier had it rolling for five straight years, and now they got a chance. This will be like their fourth straight, won't it, if they win this one? They just
and
been dominating. They've been beating them like a tom-tom.
He made it through the Spurriers, you're right. Kentucky minus 17 at Louisville.
You got to think Louisville just in the dumpster fire right now. I mean, he gave up almost 50 last week to NC State, and that's not generating any offense. You know, Kentucky, that's one of those games where they live and breathe to beat Louisville, and it's been long. They've been on the wrong side of that game for a long time. I think if they got a chance, they'll take them to the woodshed if they can.
Florida minus 5.5 at Florida State.
Hey, Florida State's coming back from the dead. I thought that was a big win for them last week. Just an unbelievable long pass there when it looked like they were going to lose to Boston College. Change a little offensive philosophy. Let their offensive coordinator call in the plays instead of Willie Taggart. I don't know. I think Florida probably got, you know, of course, Florida played against the Idaho Potatoes last week. So,
yeah.
But Florida's got a lot more firepower than they do. But Florida's defense continues to be plagued by injuries. But you got to think Florida will win that one.
Nationally, Michigan minus 4 at Ohio State.
Well, it's hard to believe they haven't beaten them in Columbus since 2000.
Yeah.
So, and it's Harbaugh is 0-4 against them. So, or 0-3.
0-3. Yeah.
0-3. But for them to be the favorite there, it just goes to show you. But that defense for, you know, Ohio State was playing before we played last week. I watched them against Maryland. I mean, it was incredible. That guy had 75-yard runs on them a couple times, and I just don't think they got enough defense in this game, particularly because Michigan's not going to give them many points. You know what I mean? So you got to give Michigan a little bit of edge, but you also got in the back of their mind, does deep down does Michigan think they can beat them? You know what I mean? So, but you got to figure Michigan will win.
Saturday night, a game that is bigger in name maybe, Notre Dame and Southern Cal, where Notre Dame's a 10-point favorite out there in L.A.
Well, I tell you, watch Notre Dame athletically compared to maybe 3 or 4 years ago. They just seem to have a lot of good-looking athletes. When I watch them play, you know, one of the first things you want to see is an eyeball test. They got guys that look like they're lining up for us and Clemson and Alabama. They got some athletes in this book kid at quarterback. Very, very solid. So Southern Cal just, you know, inexplicably have gone downhill, particularly to lose to UCLA in their first year. They had to make Chip Kelly very happy. But you got to think that they'll go out there and take care of business, knowing that they're going to be in the playoffs with a W.
Friday night, we're salivating with the, what do you call the button on the remote? The,
the previous channel button. That's right, yeah.
Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Washington State are playing at the same time Friday night.
Well, that's going to be a situation where I stick on the one there.
With Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's defense a lot like Ohio State, but we just don't have the athletes that Ohio State does. So I think it's going to be hopefully it'll be a good weather situation where everybody's just not freezing, where we can throw the ball on them and they'll throw it on us. But the biggest difference for us is that one of the running backs, Sermon, I don't know if he's going to be able to play. So OU's down to one scholarship running back. So see what happens in that one. And then Washington State, boy, they just looked incredible against Arizona last week. I kept thinking I was going to go to bed, but they, you know, the old pirate just kept running it up. That kid threw like seven touchdown passes.
Yeah, it's the mustache
Minshew. And how about him transferring from East Carolina? And East Carolina won, what, three games this year?
Incredible.
So I think Washington's better than Washington State in a lot of ways, though, but they just hadn't put it together. In the games at Washington, so I would say that's
– Pullman.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
at
yeah.
At Washington State.
Yeah.
So it's two. Well,
yeah, Washington minus, Washington State minus three.
It's just.
And Oklahoma minus 1.5.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Washington State and Oklahoma.
All right, Coach.
It's not just my heart.
I hear you. I hear you. Get out the car keys, the keys to the game. All right. The big one, the one that matters the most. Noon Saturday here in Athens.
Well, I think, first of all, it's going to be the preparation during the week that Coach Smart is just so. Meticulous in the way they teach our guys technique and assignments and all. So we'll be ready to go, and we'll be tremendously focused on the task at hand from an offensive standpoint. Just play our game, continue to make big plays, explosive plays. Tech's like last, next to last in the country on third down defense. So one key right off the bat, third down, can we stop them and get off the field, make it third and fourth and five or more. If it's fourth and four or more, they usually go for it. So third down, win third down, both sides of the ball. Red zone, taking care of a business where we force them to kick some field goals because they're going to get in the red zone. That's no question about it. And for us, capitalizing there. And then utilize our kicking game. You know, we got a really staunch return game. They've had trouble covering kicks. Get some really good field position off that. But, you know, one of those Socrates games, you know yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, we know what we can do. We got these guys played them last year. They know how to play. But it's always a barn burner when you play these guys. And you just got to understand that, hey, take care of your own technique. And the last thing, if you've got the quarterback, play the quarterback. Don't try to be Superman. If you got the pitch, play the pitch. Just play assignment football, and we'll be okay. We're not going to shut them down. Now, they're going to make some yards, and they're just too good. I mean, you could have Green Bay Packer defense out there. They can execute. They know what they're doing, but I like the Dogs. I don't know if it win by 17, but I like our mindset this because our team has improved dramatically since the loss to LSU. I think everybody sees that, but we still, everything's ahead of us. Maybe not this year, but for the future, looks extremely bright.
Coach, always great to see you. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving and to you and your family, and look forward to some
Friday night.
Brunswick stew.
Right,
Friday night
no
at the Blind Pig.
There's no question that you're going to have that. It's just a question what I'm going to have. But
you'll have some tots with whatever you have.
I tell you one thing. There's going to be a lot of people down there celebrating and getting ready for it. We had a good crowd last week. I was surprised. We even had some guys in from Massachusetts in there, but they didn't bring us any lobster.
They did not. Thank goodness.
But those guys were drinking some serious beer.
Yes, they were.
They were serious beer guys.
They've had a cold Sam Adams next to a cold right. Sam Adams many
right.
times,
right.
I'm sure. Yes.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, Coach. We'll see you being here next Tuesday, and we'll have you next or this Friday for our University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night at the Blind Pig Tavern in downtown Athens.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.